Welcome to episode 52 of Forest Focus, brought to you by the USDA Forest Service Pacific Southwest Region. This is the fifth and final installment of a mini-series about amphibian conservation and determination. We're calling the mini-series For the Frogs. In each episode, we have been introduced to one native amphibian that can be found in California's national forests. These creatures are important to ecological health, and they can deepen our connections with our public lands once we get to know them. But each of these species is in a state of decline due to overlapping threats, including pathogens, introduced predators, habitat loss, drought, and wildfire. On their own, each threat is a great difficulty, but as a collective, they're quite the formidable foe for the frogs. Fortunately, there is a village of specialists devoted to conserving these species, despite the colossal challenge of the threat supergroup. The stories of their resolute conservation efforts, pursued through obstacles and setbacks, provides portraits of determination that we can pocket and apply to our own personal experiences with adversity. This time, we're tagging along with the endangered mountain yellow-legged frog, as they are reintroduced to their natural habitat within the San Gabriel Mountains of the Angeles National Forest.
I'm Ann Berkeley, and I'm the district wildlife biologist on the San Gabriel Mountains National Monument portion of the Angeles National Forest. I've been on the Angeles since 2002, so 22 years now. This summer, we worked with an amazing set of dedicated partners on the reintroduction of the mountain yellow-legged frog, which is one of our federally endangered species. This Southern California group is only found in a few locations on the Angeles and the San Bernardino National Forest. Unfortunately, in the past 10 years, some of those areas were impacted by large wildfires, so anything we can do to bring those numbers up is beneficial. Our partner agencies, local zoos, aquariums, and universities are the backbone when it comes to helping us increase those numbers and by physically returning them to the streams they're supposed to be living in.
These frogs have had a dynamic journey to the National Forest. First, staff at zoos and an aquarium helped grow the frogs from eggs to tadpoles to froglets. Then they were placed in plastic containers with ventilation holes and driven to the forest. On the drive, they were kept cool in a cooler. And once at the forest, the containers went into backpacks and specialists hiked them to their reintroduction site in a stream. This is all part of an ongoing conservation breeding and reintroduction program for the endangered mountain yellow-legged frog, scientifically known as Rana muscosa. Time to hop to the place where the frogs bound for the San Gabriel Mountains got their start.
My name is Ian Riccio. I'm the curator of herpetology at Los Angeles Zoo. So I've been with the Los Angeles Zoo for 30 years, and we are actually behind the scenes in the living amphibian and invertebrate and reptile house of the Los Angeles Zoo, and that also includes our Southern Mountain Yellow-Legged Frog exhibit.
For most of us, the zoo might be our best opportunity to see this native species, because there are very few of them left on Earth. Their decline is due to a convergence of several threats.
Southern Mountain Yellow-Legged Frog is one of the most endangered amphibians on the planet. A lot of folks don't even realize that they're in the mountains or that are in your backyard in Southern California. I like to describe their situation as kind of a perfect storm. So there's invasive species that have been introduced into their habitat, bullfrogs being one, but also stocking of non-native trout in some areas. When you add additional animals to small waterways, that impacts the frogs negatively. On top of all of that, you also have the chytrid fungus that's impacting amphibians worldwide, and especially during drought conditions, they're experiencing environmental stress. Things like chytrid fungus really tend to create large die-offs. We've been experiencing extraordinary drought conditions for many years, and that is hugely impactful because the environment is changing much more rapidly than is normal. And when that happens, the animals don't have time to adapt. So you're looking at these tiny, pristine waterways that are fed by clean snow melt in the mountains drying up prematurely. And then you have the opposite effect. Now we're having these extraordinary amounts of rain and snow in the last couple of years, which is great because we need the moisture. Then you have mud flow and debris flow and all these things that clog up the waterways. So it's hard for animals that have these specific little niches like yellow-legged frogs to adapt.
Fortunately, a variety of partners have been working together for over 20 years, building a conservation program to help this species avoid extinction. Over the years, the following organizations, agencies, and institutions have been involved in conserving this species in the mountains of Southern California. The Los Angeles Zoo, San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance, Santa Ana Zoo, Omaha's Henry Dorley Zoo, the Aquarium of the Pacific, UCLA, UC Berkeley, San Francisco State, UC James San Jacinto Mountain Reserve, also the Wildland Conservancy, U.S. Geological Survey, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, and the U.S. Forest Service. Quite the robust list. Today, efforts are focused on monitoring and growing populations that still exist within portions of the San Gabriel, San Bernardino, and San Jacinto Mountains of Southern California, areas that fall partially within two national forests, the Angeles and the San Bernardino. It is within the San Bernardino National Forest that we find the early history of this program. After the 2002 listing of the mountain yellow-legged frog under the Endangered Species Act, the forest wildlife biologists began discussions with the U.S. Geological Survey, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and the California Department of Fish and Wildlife about what needed to be done to conserve the few remaining populations of this species on the forest. The creeks on the forest were not just a habitat for endangered species, they were also key attractions for forest visitors to cool off in the summer. So an adaptive recreation monitoring strategy was used. First, visitors were asked to stay out of the water where frogs still remained and were given information about the endangered frogs. Signs were also put up sharing the same information. It then became clear that a different approach might be needed to further mitigate the recreational impacts on the frogs in this part of the forest. Biologists came together with visitor use specialists to find a balance between recreation and wildlife conservation. A closure of 10 feet on either side of these creek areas was implemented from May to October, the time of year most important to the life stage development of the frogs. And this allowed visitors to walk on adjacent trails and to sit back a short distance from the creek shore to enjoy it. Additionally, other areas of the creeks remained open for in-water recreation. As a result, visitors have come to know these areas as places for the mountain yellow-legged frog, making the species an invitation for a deeper connection to place. In 2006, an unexpected road collapse into a creek prompted additional cooperative action. Caltrans provided funding that supported the early foundation of a captive breeding program. Frogs were taken from the impacted creek to the San Diego Zoo. This cooperative conservation response has since grown into a robust conservation program. Ian gives us some more insight on how it has evolved over the years.
In the early 2000s, the zoo was asked to hold some frogs as kind of a rescue situation. Shortly after that, the actual recovery program was launched with all of our state and federal partners and the San Diego Zoo, who started the program, and Los Angeles Zoo jumped on in about 2007, and we actually started holding frogs with the intent of breeding and putting them back in the wild. It started with us working with the San Jacinto Mountain population, which was the same population that San Diego Zoo was also working with. But as the program evolved, it made more sense for Los Angeles Zoo to concentrate on the San Gabriel Mountain population. Geographically, it's on our back doorstep, so traveling to the field was easier. But additionally, that population in the San Gabriels was considered the most critically endangered. So with the Forest Service, the USGS, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, California Fish and Wildlife, we were permitted to bring in animals that were wild collected as tadpoles. Those tadpoles came out of the San Gabriel Mountains. We raised those up to adulthood, and those adults became the breeders for the animals we're producing now to put back into the wild.
But how did the zoos and partners develop a system and process to breed these frogs for reintroductions?
When we first brought mountain yellow-legged frogs into captivity, no one had reproduced them or kept them long-term in captivity. So we used models of other amphibian programs. And there are a lot of zoos around the country doing wonderful work in reintroduction programs with similar types of amphibians that are going back in the wild. Then we look at their natural history and go, okay, how can we replicate this? Like, this frog needs to be really cold in the winter. And we take all of those things, and then our knowledge as herpetologists, and we put together a plan. Then, moving forward, let's say there's another mountain frog that needs conservation work similar to the yellow-legged frog. Well, now we have all this knowledge that we've gained from cooling them down and adjusting the photo periods and when to put the males and females together and how to raise the tadpoles and growing certain algae in petri dishes that they love to eat. It's all stuff that we learn along the way.
We're going to see the manifestations of this knowledge in the zoo's breeding facility. But on the way, we'll make a quick stop to the public exhibit to get a look at these rarely seen frogs.
We have a little slice of a habitat we created that tried to mimic one of our release sites in the San Gabriels. We have some sycamore trees and some oak tree branches. We have this little stream bed situation where we're running the water from left to right, intermingled with granite boulders so that there's different little eddies created in there for their fitness. They can actually get in there and work at swimming in the stream bed. We intentionally left all of this life support equipment visible to the public, so it shows people that you can't just put animals in a goldfish bowl situation and hope that everything's going to be okay, especially yellow leg frogs, which have all these extreme environmental requirements. So we have a large chiller, and we have a sump with a biological filter, and we have UV sterilization and UV lights on timers. We have over 1 million people a year and come through the LA Zoo. They can see a yellow leg frog nose to nose.
We're going to have another close encounter with these special frogs in their egg form over at the zoo's breeding facility. The technology used to recreate the natural environment, pumps and filters and temperature control devices, make for a whirring serenade, a song of conservation science. Luke Myers, a member of the reptile team at the zoo, who also gets to work with these frogs, prepares to transfer the egg mass from the laying tank to a tank where they will hatch into tadpoles. And the parent frogs of this egg mass were rescued from the Angeles National Forest during the 2020 bobcat fire.
Those are some of the ones that were laid yesterday. So we have a tadpole tank set up. I'm going to take off the lid on the other tank, so you just scoop up the eggs in the net, and then you just transfer them into there. I'm going to take a picture, and then later on I'm going to zoom in and count the eggs, and we'll report all that.
A simple but careful transfer. It will take 1 to 5 years for these eggs to become froglets. So these eggs are not going to become the frogs that we will follow back to the Angeles National Forest. But we will follow the journey that each sibling group takes. While the egg masses are small, as they morph into their tadpole and frog forms, they need more and more space to grow. That is why other institutions are providing space for growth in collaboration with the Los Angeles Zoo. We're off to visit two, and this will require a time leap from spring, the breeding season, to summer, the time of year when the frogs that hatched 1 or 2 years ago have reached a development size ready for reintroduction.
My name is Jill Sanders. I'm the lead zookeeper at the Santa Ana Zoo. Right now, we're right outside what we call our frog pod. It's our conservation area for our mountain yellow-legged frogs. We get the tadpoles from the Los Angeles Zoo, and we raise them to adults or sub-adults to release into the wild.
To get the frogs back out to the forest, they will need to go from their tanks into plastic containers for transportation. The containers have ventilation holes and crumpled damp paper towels for a bit of moisture. Those plastic containers with frogs inside will then be placed into a cooler with a few ice packs. This is to keep the frogs at a cool, stable temperature for the drive from the zoo to the forest. Let's step inside to witness the packing up process.
There'll be a tight squeeze in here. Come on in.
So right now I have frogs in two tanks. We have 29 adult frogs that we've head started that are ready to make their way out. I've already got the paper towels down.
I'm going to put a couple more just crumpled up. You want to put some water on these, Liz?
The latter voice was Adam Backlund, an ecologist with the U.S. Geological Survey, or USGS, who has worked with frogs for 25 years. He and Liz Gallegos, a biologist with the USGS, who has worked with frogs for 20 years, who we'll hear next, are the lead specialists for the fieldwork on this species. That includes regular monitoring, surveys, and reintroductions like we're seeing today.
So we are putting the frogs into their transport containers, being very careful not to let them jump out and escape.
We're putting them in the cooler. We're going to put 1 or 2 ice packs in here and kind of monitor this as we're transporting them to keep that temperature relatively stable to what they've been in. So I think we're ready to bring these out to the car. Head to our next stop. Do you mind getting the door for me?
This reintroduction involves 2 zoos and an aquarium. With this first group of frogs in their containers within the cooler, placed safely in the back of the car for the first part of their road trip back to the forest, we're ready to drive to collect some more frog friends who have been raised in Long Beach, California.
My name is Erin Lundy, and I work for the Aquarium of the Pacific. My title is Manager of Conservation Initiatives. Right now, we're at the Aquarium of the Pacific, and we are in front of our public-facing mountain yellow-legged frog habitats.
Much like the exhibit at the Los Angeles Zoo, the one at the Aquarium of the Pacific has taken great care to add habitat features that mimics their natural habitat in nature. It also has similar technology to provide the right temperature, lighting, and water filtration to sustain the lives of these frogs.
We spent the morning packaging up frogs for release. The mountain yellow-legged frogs are part of a project in which we head start them, we receive tadpoles, we grow them through metamorphosis. Mountain yellow-legged frogs are a species that is native to California and at one point were the most populous vertebrate in the range, and now they're estimated to be less than 200 of them in the wild. And so being a part of a project that can make such a significant contribution to their populations is super meaningful to me. It's about making the difference that you can make in your own backyard.
The aquarium also has some tadpoles we'll be taking back to the Angeles National Forest today, which have a backstory worth telling. For context, tadpoles of this species typically morph into their frog form within 1 or 2 years.
These animals were salvaged from the 2020 Bobcat fire. The handful of frogs that we are packaging up metamorphosed late last year, and some tadpoles seemingly have never reached metamorphosis, so we are giving them a chance to do that in the wild. So we are releasing some 4-year-old tadpoles.
With these additional frogs and a few Never Never Land, I Don't Want to Grow Up tadpoles ready to go, it is time for the second leg of the reintroduction road trip, a 2-hour drive to the Angeles National Forest. Don't worry, we'll hop ahead to the forest arrival, where it's time to take a hike. The entry point is a pullout on a main road leading through the forest. There is no trail, but the journey will take us over a landscape that's adorned with stones and small boulders towards a stream and around a waterfall. This is why the frogs in their plastic containers have to come out of the cooler and into backpacks for transport. And the USGS biologists have a system for keeping them cool on the hike.
So we just use standard backpacking backpacks, and then we insulate it with foam, and then we have styrofoam on the bottom. And then we'll put ice packs and then some frogs and then ice packs on top and then put more styrofoam, and that's it. Pretty simple.
For a froggy game.
Did you
want to
take the tadpoles?
Yeah, I can take the tadpoles.
Before reaching the reintroduction site, we cross paths with something exciting.
So we're walking up to do the release of these frogs, and while we're walking up, we discovered a frog from one of the last 2-year releases.
A great sign of the program's success. But on we go. Getting to the part of the stream best suited for the reintroduction requires a scramble along a hillside to get around a small waterfall. This is why the backpacks are required. The biologists need both hands to maneuver and climb. Once over the waterfall and a bit further up the stream, where there are some pools, it is time to acclimate the frogs to the temperature of their new home. Essentially, they come out of the backpack, still in their plastic container, and have a short float on the water's surface.
Once we get to the site, we have to unpack the frogs, and we make sure that we acclimate them in their containers in the water so that they're relatively the same temperature. And when they're acclimated, then we release them into the water.
When the container lids are open, most of the frogs are quite keen to hop out into the stream, but a few need a gentle nudge. Perhaps those few rather enjoyed the bob in the container. Regardless, once out, they enjoy a swim and find a nearby rock to bask in the sun, all to get a feel for their new home in the Angeles National Forest. We've done a lot today. And to help us take home the details and village of folks involved in returning endangered species back to their natural environment, Liz and Adam provide a recap.
Today we are in the Angeles National Forest in the San Gabriel Mountains. We were able to move mountain yellow-legged frogs from the zoos where they were being raised after the Bobcat fire. The Bobcat fire hit in the fall of 2020. We did an emergency rescue of tadpoles, and we took those tadpoles to different zoos, and they raised those up to adult animals or juvenile animals, and now we've released those today. It's nice to be able to put them back into the wild.
So USGS became involved with the program in the late 1990s. And in 2000, I'd picked up doing the work. And that work was basically monitoring the known populations, which there were only a few. For the next 10 years or so, we focused on identifying new populations. And we did a couple hundred surveys across Southern California over a decade. And we only found two populations of frogs that weren't previously known. Sometime around 2006 is when we got the opportunity to start the captive breeding program. We were able to collect some wild tadpoles on an emergency rescue where the entire creek was drying up and these tadpoles were going to desiccate and die. So we were able to collect them, bring them into captivity. Those frogs became our captive breeding program.
That emergency rescue was on the San Bernardino National Forest. It contributed to the foundation of the captive breeding program, which now includes reintroductions in three mountain ranges in Southern California, including habitats on both the San Bernardino National Forest and the Angeles National Forest, where we are today.
We did our first release in 2010, and we've released almost every year, and we've transitioned from releasing tadpoles to releasing frogs. So we use the zoos to help produce the animals and head start them until they're frogs. So USGS, we provide the data to the program. Our other partners include the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, California Department of Fish and Wildlife, who are both regulatory agencies and they help with the permitting. We also have many zoos involved with the program now. Los Angeles Zoo, San Diego Zoo, Santa Ana Zoo, Aquarium of the Pacific, Omaha's Henry Dorley Zoo. We're bringing on Scripps Birch Aquarium and Big Bear Zoo. We have a couple other partners like the Wildlands Conservancy who have properties. The Forest Service is a huge partner. Most of the work we do is on Forest Service property. And then we've also collaborated with several universities on doing research with genetics and disease as well. The mountain yellow-legged frog has a lot of threats. The biggest threat we're facing is a disease called the amphibian chytrid fungus. And it's really affecting amphibians all over the globe, but this mountain yellow-legged frog is extremely susceptible to it. And drought is not helping. The creeks they live in are pretty small, so drought dries up these creeks.
These frogs require at least 2 years of water for their tadpole development. With drought often comes wildfires, and so wildfires a lot of times will have direct impacts. Along with that comes our changing weather patterns. These tropical storms are getting a lot of rainfall in the summer months, which we never got before. And so if you have those rainfalls and they immediately follow a fire, well, then that's just a recipe for disaster.
This is because of the debris and sediment that will get swept into streams from a landscape, especially if it is burned at high severity. Not so good for the frogs on the brink of extinction.
The numbers are very dire. It's really interesting to study these animals and work toward restoring their populations here in Southern California.
What Adam just said cues us up for the frog philosophy that we can take home from this episode and all the other stories we've heard in this miniseries, which is this: dire circumstances can help us discover a fellowship of determination. With each of the species we've met, the Sierra Nevada yellow-legged frog, the Cascades frog, the California red-legged frog, the Yosemite toad, and especially this very endangered mountain yellow-legged frog, their risk factors are many and seemingly outside of our control. But those dire straits have brought together a village of inspiring specialists determined to combine expertise, ideas, and resources to see what can be done to conserve species. Facing the impacts of drought, disease, invasive species, and wildfires in a silo could very well have led to inaction or defeat. But sharing the burden of concern with others has catalyzed innovative conservation actions for the frogs. So too with our own lives. The burden of problems in our day-to-day or personal relationships can become a paralyzing weight upon our mind. But sharing the circumstances with others can help us discover a fellowship of determination of our own. It's working for the frogs, so perhaps it's worth a try for our own troubles too. Thanks for listening. For those who are curious to learn more, go over to the show description page and click on the links. To find more episodes, search for Forest Focus Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, enjoy your public lands. Please remember to recreate responsibly, know before you go, and learn what you can do to prevent wildfires. Take care. This podcast is sponsored by the U.S. Department of Agriculture Forest Service, and the USDA is an equal opportunity provider, employer, and lender.